Well, despite the rains, flooding, and all that we heard and saw on the news last week, we are still here. And it's great to see every one of you this morning. I love Christmas. I love the joy. I love the carols. I love the decorations. I love worshiping in this beautiful sanctuary. And I especially love the poinsettias, which I am very allergic to. So, please bear with me if I start sniffling, coughing, and maybe lose my voice. I apologize in advance. We're in the thick of it now, aren't we? The planning, the decorations, the shopping, the pictures, the waiting, the gifts, the parties, the stress, and the headaches of the Christmas season are upon us. Despite all this preparation and waiting, I am reminded of the gifts that we have received this year. And for Allison and me, William, a deepening and loving relationship with our family and the constant support of our friends have been some of the greatest gifts. Personally, I am grateful for the gift to serve and share alongside you on these Sunday mornings. It has truly been a gift from God, so thank you. As we continue our Advent journey and prepare ourselves for Jesus, what are the gifts that you have received this year? Were they lasting? Did they live up to your expectations? At some point, we receive gifts that don't live up to our expectations. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's life. And this morning, we're going to call those gifts one-dimensional gifts. They are very simple and don't last very long. As I was thinking about one-dimensional gifts last week, I received these and a white elephant gift exchange. Many of us know what this toy is. As children, we put these capsules in cups of water and watch them grow into three-dimensional shapes and sizes and animals with awe and amazement. So this morning, we're going to have a little fun. As I begin, I'm going to put this capsule in this cup of water. Hopefully, it will expand because this cup of water is cold and the instructions say to put it in warm water. So what in the world do grow capsules and one-dimensional gifts have to do with this text from Isaiah? Well, this time of year, there is a tendency to give and receive one-dimensional gifts. And many people experience Advent and Christmas in a one-dimensional way, in a way that has Jesus coming and arriving as a baby and staying in that manger. But the reality is that the story of Jesus and the story that we celebrate is very much like this toy. On the surface, the story looks good. Yet, as we come closer to it, it causes us to think again. And like this toy, it grows. And the deeper we go in understanding the story of Christmas, the gifts of God's grace and Jesus Christ grow. This baby that we're anticipating, this baby whose birth we will be celebrating in a couple of weeks, like all babies, will not stay a baby for very long. Our three-month-old is already wearing six-month-old clothing. And many of us keep Jesus as a baby. We keep him small in size and one-dimensional. And if our view of him is one-dimensional or that of a small baby, then we need to think again. We need to remember that there is more to the story. We need to understand that the story of Jesus is bigger. It's a gift that keeps growing. Jesus is not small, and he is not one-dimensional. He has many dimensions. And this morning's text from the prophet Isaiah points to him. At the time that this text was written to Israel, the people that it was written to, they were in a terrible situation. They had been overcome. They were occupied and being ruled by a foreign ruler. Their status in history were compromised, and they had been living in hopeless and dark days. The days were so dark that they did not want their children to have children. They didn't want to subject their children to the world they were living in. Can you imagine what that world looked like? It's difficult for us to do that. Yet, it was their reality and their story. But in chapter 40, the story turns and love enters. The love of God for his people in the midst of their unfaithfulness, in the midst of their despair, cries out. In the very first verses of chapter 40, we hear these words, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Comfort. The hard days will end. Comfort, you will be forgiven. Comfort, the reality of your world will end. Comfort, you will be redeemed. Comfort is the act of relieving someone else's pain. And in Lamentations, the pain and suffering of the Israelites is captured. Amidst their pain, they cry out to God for comfort. And then later, Isaiah speaks. The words of God in Isaiah give them the comfort that they have been longing for. "Comfort is here," proclaims Isaiah. When we love someone and see them in pain, when we love someone and see them in despair, when we see someone who needs to be comforted, we move towards them because we love them. We move towards them because God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to take on the form of a man, bear the world's sins, suffer for each of us, and pay the ultimate sacrifice. What we see God doing in Isaiah, what we see God doing in Jesus, is moving towards his people who are in pain. We see God moving towards his people who need to be forgiven. We see God moving towards his people to comfort them. And he comforts you. And he comforts me because he loves us. Even when we move away from God, God moves towards us, provides us Jesus, and in through him, a relationship of love and comfort. The people of Israel were in pain. They were hurt. They were hopeless. And because God loved them, he moved toward his people and comforted them, containing the promise of the one who would come to rescue them. You and I have come to this place today, whether we know it or not, because the one, Jesus Christ, has come. And this is what Christmas is all about. Jesus came to comfort and rescue his people. He rescues you. He rescues me because we, like Israel, are in need of redemption from our situation, from our circumstance, and from our sin. We are in need of redemption from our self-centered lives. We are in need of redemption from our attempts to control this world and everything in it. And we need redemption because we reduce Jesus to a one-dimensional gift, a small baby, forgetting the magnitude that he willingly took on the form of a man, came as a baby, grew into a revolutionary, and started a revolution of comfort, love, forgiveness, and grace that changed the course of human history and brought light into a hopeless and dark world. Isaiah 40 helps us to see the magnitude of Jesus as the Messiah. In verses 10 and 11, he states, "See, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead them to the mother sheep." Isaiah presents a dual image of the Messiah. In one image, we see a mighty king. And in the other, we see a tender shepherd. Now, these images, especially in the ancient world, do not go together. That is, we do not have a mighty king and a tender shepherd embodied in one person. Yet the Messiah is more than anyone could or can ever imagine, because there are so many dimensions in Jesus. In gentleness, strength, tenderness, and power, Jesus meets the brokenness of this world and the brokenness and pain in our lives because he is good, loving, and tender. He meets us in our innermost spaces, those intimate times when we need his gentleness and warmth. We experience Jesus as a tender shepherd, and yet he is not just a shepherd. He is a mighty king that brings strength to his people. He is not just a baby born in a manger. This baby born in a manger will grow up into the one who walks with his people in love and tenderness. And this baby will grow up into a mighty king who will reign in power forever. This is Jesus, comfort becoming God's love. So this morning, do you have a one-dimensional view of God's love? Do you have a small view of Jesus? I talk to so many people who've grown up in church their whole lives who reflect back and say they're just not into Christianity. And in these conversations, when I dig deeper, I realize that there's more to the story. I realize that they have a small view of Jesus and a one-dimensional view of God's love. If you have a small view of Jesus, if you are someone who says, "I used to have faith," I urge you to think again. I urge you to look again. And I urge you to pray again. There is so much more to explore about Jesus and God's love. So during this season of Advent, we are invited into this journey of waiting and preparation, because there is more to God's love, and there is always more to Jesus. In the locker room of my gym, there's a man that shines shoes. When I walk past him in the mornings, I say hello, and we talk for a few moments. When we started talking, the conversations were surface level. And over time, they've transitioned from the pleasantries to business and to life. And as they've transitioned, I found out that Jake's business is a constant grind and struggle. I think a lot of us can associate with that. I also found out that although he's required to be at several locations throughout town each day, his car is unreliable. And I came to find out that he lost everything in a fire. It wasn't until that fire that Jake started to think again about Jesus. And now he is a resolute and tender man for Christ. His witness is growing each day, so much so that when he saw me on Friday morning, he ran up to me and says, "I was talking to God, and I had you on your mind, so I have a question for you." Now, if you know me, I was like, "Really? I don't have time for this." But I said, "You know what? What's your question?" He said, "What's the difference between help and faith?" I then said, "Really?" This question as I'm trying to get through my morning routine. But as Jake and I talked, he said, "Help comes through God in man. Faith comes through God's abundance, comfort, grace, and love as we grow in our relationship with Jesus." Now, I don't know how accurate Jake's theology is, and quite frankly, I don't care. What I do know is that Jake has discovered that there is more to Christ than we can ever imagine. And that's the point, isn't it? As we grow in faith, Christ's love and God's comfort multiply exponentially. And more than ever, we all need that. You know, this season is about extending God's love and God's comfort. The season is a reminder of why we need that love and that comfort. I asked the question earlier, can you imagine a world like the Israelites were living in? And I think it's hard for each of us to imagine that world, but those kids came from that world. Those kids came from a place where they needed love and they needed comfort. And our church walked alongside them, and they gave them that love, and they gave them that comfort, which turned into joy for the Christmas season. That's what we're called to do. And if you're like me or like Jake, and you need a reminder of what God's comfort really is, if you're like me and you need a reminder of the necessity of God's comfort, look at your life. What's going on in your life? Have the stresses of the Christmas season weighed you down? Well, there's a tender shepherd that wants to walk alongside you. Are you in need of a victory, a miracle, or healing? There's a mighty king that wants to walk alongside you. I came to Christ when I was in a place in my life where I needed victory and I needed healing. I met Christ when I was at a terribly tough time in my life, at a time when everything was falling apart around me, when the structures of my family and friends should have been there, but they were falling apart. I needed comfort. And during that time, Jesus moved towards me. He put his arms around me. He lifted me up out of the wilderness and carried me close to his heart. He provided me love. He provided me comfort in the same way he did with those kids at the zoo. And I've walked with Jesus ever since. And I can tell you that there has been nothing redundant about any season with Jesus. I imagine my walk with Jesus as a roller coaster where the hills have been made low and the valleys have been lifted up, where the crooked places have been made straight. And in that walk, I've experienced that miracle and that healing that I needed. And regardless of the season, regardless of the emotions, I can tell you this: God's love, God's comfort, God's grace, and Jesus Christ get bigger and bigger every year. Like this capsule, who unfortunately didn't expand in water because it was cold. Jesus doesn't stay a baby. Jesus doesn't stay in that manger. Jesus doesn't stay the way we met him. He grows. He expands. His love expands within our hearts. His love expands within our lives. So have you experienced this love in your life? Or are the stresses of the Christmas season wearing and weighing you down? If they are, I would encourage you to think again, to look again, and to see the God who comes as a tender shepherd and a mighty king to walk towards us because he loves us. I invite you to feel the love and tenderness of Jesus who walks towards us to bring you the love, the joy, the hope, and the peace that he brings each and every one of us. Friends, please pray with me. Father God, thank you for loving us so much that you would want to comfort us, your people, especially in times of difficulty and darkness. Thank you for your gift of Jesus. Please help our understanding of him, even today, grow and expand and become bigger than we can ever imagine. We ask all of this in his name as we reach out to hold the hands of those seated beside us and pray the prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.